It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy, Luke Clayton. Merry Christmas to everybody. It's a busy time of the year, but it's not too busy for us to spend a little bit of time and talk about our favorite topics, hunting and fishing. Now, this show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. And I'll remind you, the convention this year is January the 3rd through the 6th at the Dallas Convention Center. And also made possible by Brute Outdoors, makers of Brute Coolers. The number of Brute Coolers is 855-BRUTE-55 or online, bruteoutdoors.com. Now today we're going to talk about, of all things, dove hunting. Did you know dove season opens again, the second split of dove season, here this coming Saturday on the 22nd of December? We're going to visit with Larry Large. I was with Larry 2 days ago and we scouted some awesome, awesome dove country in Kaufman County. We'll talk about that. And we'll hit some highlights on how to bag those late season doves. Now, I think Larry Large is on the line. Larry, are you with us this morning, sir?
I sure am, Luke.
Well, thanks for being with us. You were our guest last week, and we were talking duck hunting. But, you know, folks, I was with Larry just yesterday, and we were scouting some of his leased property up in Kaufman County for ducks. You know, Larry's a waterfowl guide. I hunt and fish with Larry a great deal. But, Larry, the number of doves on this place, there was quite a few ducks on these lakes on the property, but the dove numbers was shocking to me. I don't know how to count them this late in the season, but there were several hundred, mostly morning doves, but there was some white wings mixed in. So I guess pockets is what people look for this time of year. There, if you find them, you can find some heavy concentrations, can't you?
Yes, sir, Luke. All the doves, they're on their way south. But we've had such unusual warm weather, all these big flocks of doves that are grouped up to head south, they're just hanging around. So it's nothing to see 30, 40 birds in a flock, and you'll find a bunch of flocks where you find one.
Exactly. And Larry, I think I'll kind of paint the picture on this property, what the terrain looked like. It was pretty much open country. You know, you've got some, three ponds and one pretty good sized little lake on that property. But there was a hillside of, I don't know how many acres, 40, 50 acres covered with mesquites. And, you know, when we were down there in the morning looking for ducks, those birds, those doves were coming out of those trees in flocks, and what shocked me is the number of white wings mixed in. So people that normally hunt dove only in the opener back in September, most people, Larry, I think hunt dove the opening weekend of dove season, you know, and they're missing, if they can find these pockets, they're missing some awesome late season hunting, you know.
Exactly. We normally don't have this kind of weather in December. I mean, my God, it's 70 degrees. Those birds are around, and the people that think opening weekend is the only time to dove hunt, when you get a year like this, fellas ought to take advantage of it, because there is a bunch of dove here right now.
Well, you'll be hunting them right there on that property. I hope to get with you for a morning or afternoon hunt. That would be just too good not to. I'm betting some of the duck hunters probably also are going to be interested in shooting dove with you, Larry.
Oh, definitely. I've already got some boys that's going to hunt early morning for the ducks. When the ducks quit flying, we're changing over to low base eights, and we're going dove hunting.
And that's a good tip to tell everybody that if you're doing a combo hunt, folks, make sure and remember this. When you're out there duck hunting, carry your steel with you. Your no-talk shot out there for your ducks. Now, if you happen to do one of these combo hunts like we're talking about with Larry or on your own place, go back to the truck, put all that steel up, and then you're geared up for dove. And it's the same regulations, three shots. It's migratory bird, Larry, right? So they don't, you know, keep three shells in there, so your shotgun should be ready to do double duty, you know?
Exactly. The one thing that you brought up is a great point. Do not carry one of them lead shells by mistake or otherwise out there when you're hunting waterfowl, because it's very expensive.
That's true. And I mean, like you said, don't carry one of them. Check. We do this. We'll do it, but you check your game bag and your boxes of shells really, really close. Now, Larry, when I get with you, I've got some of these spinning wing dove decoys. Now, hunting that property that you're talking about in that, I would say, heavy cover. Now, there's heavy, a lot of mesquite trees, but the cover is gone. Those trees are barren, you know. And we were just flushing flocks here and flocks there. We could get in some good jump shooting, but I'm just wondering about putting out some spinning wing decoys for, you know, like late in the evening when the birds come into water.
Boy, I'm telling you, Luke, if a person has never hunted doves over those spinning wing decoys, I'm telling you, it is amazing. Doves will actually land on their back. I don't know what there is about them. I wished all my ducks would do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing what those Mojo doves will do for a dove hunt. You can actually control where those birds will come with those decoys.
You can, Larry. The first time I remember, it was probably, gosh, 8 years ago, maybe 10, when the motion decoys first got popular, or really when decoys in general got popular for dove hunting. I remember I was hunting down and around Dublin, down in that country, and I had a spinning wing decoy set up on a little mound, and I never will forget one dove come up there, and he couldn't land on it, but he honestly hovered right to 3 feet above this spinning wing decoy. It was a sight, but since then I've used the spinning wing, and I've even have some of these, the wings actually flap. They move up and down real fast, and I'm sure from a distance a dove would just see motion. But the truth is, Larry, you know, doves are flocking birds just like ducks, and you know, we grew up not thinking about them as such, but once decoys and the use of decoys became popular, we learned a whole different way to hunt doves, didn't we?
Oh boy, did we ever. I remember you used to just sit out by a tree somewhere and hope one flew by. Now you've got decoys you clip on barbed wire fences. You got spinning wing decoys you put on the fence post. And now if there's a dove in the area, he's coming to you.
That's true. Well, as far as technique on these late season birds, now, I you know, what I can see from my limited scouting, there's going to be pockets such as your place down there north of Kaufman in Kaufman County that's going to be red hot. And for whatever reason, those birds are there. There's probably going to be places where you're not going to find birds. So I'm sure there will be. So I guess the best advice that we could give someone hunting late season doves, Larry, is to, just like duck hunting, scout, you know. Get access. They could hunt with you, I'm sure. You probably could work some people in, but by all means, scout and find the birds first, right?
Right. One of the critical factors right now is water. Get near water. You know, all the farm ponds are dry. We haven't had no rain. I'm thinking about becoming a prickly pear cactus farmer in East Texas, but really, water is one of the keys that you look for. I think it's one of the primary keys that I look for when I'm doing my scouting, is find a place they can get water and then get close to trees they can roost in. And I don't mean just one bird roost in a tree. Find places where there's pockets of trees that a bunch of birds can roost in.
Exactly. And then the morning and evening hunting, when I've got some buddies, Larry, that are biologists and ornithologists. I went through a little class for a master naturalist class, and I was picking this guy's brain. He was a bird man. That's what he knew. And I asked him, I said, why is it that that doves congregate around the sandy banks? And I already thought I knew the answer, you know. And he said, well, they're going to come. The first thing a dove's going to do is feed first, then he's going to peck some grit. And you find a water hole with a clean, sandy bank, that's the kind of bank that the doves like, because they're protecting themselves from predators, aren't they? They can, you know.
Exactly, and that's a reason that a lot of people will drive down country roads and they see dove after dove after dove on a gravel road. They're getting that grit to put in their craw to grind up those wheat seeds that they ate an hour ago.
Exactly. Just like any fowl. That's the way it works. Well, Larry, it would be a shame to have one of what I think is the supreme duck and waterfowl guides on and not talk a little duck hunting. Now, I know that you were telling me this past weekend you had there's days when you had on that big water that you hunt at 300 acres, you had hundreds of ducks. The next day it was spotty. So I guess it's all frontal passages dependent right now, you know?
Yeah, we've had a lot of warm weather. The local ducks banded together, thought about going south. It stayed warm. Then all of a sudden, we get 3 days where it's below freezing. The local duck said, all right, that's our key. We're out of here. Well, when they leave, normally we get a new flock of northern birds come in. But what's happened up north, all that water's still open. All those grain fields aren't covered with snow. So we're right in between the locals leaving and the northerns aren't here yet. I mean, we've got pockets and places just like this place we're talking dove hunting on that's very good for ducks right now. But my big water and everything else, it's a little shaky. But that's the reason that we have more than one area to hunt.
That's true, and that's very important. And a lot of people don't have that, you know, that advantage. And it's a matter of just scouting. I can't stress that enough. But duck hunting, if you don't scout, it's really just kind of rolling the dice, isn't it, Larry? You're just hoping,
really is,
you know.
You know yourself, Luke. You know me. I mean, I'm scouting. If I'm not in the blind, I'm looking for a place to put a blind and find some ducks. And we hunt public water with a really nice duck boat. We hunt private water in several different areas, and we stay on the birds.
I will say that for you, buddy. You're always on them. And I'll get you back. I would like us to talk a little hog hunting. Folks, I was with Larry when he arrowed a good about a 200-pound boar, and I think it would help people sometime soon, Larry, to devote some time and explain to them how really simple it is to cure pork and to smoke it and make ham out of it. That boar that you killed, it was, you know, it was about a 200-pound boar, folks, but the meat, the hog smelled good. I mean, it had a good, it wasn't a rank boar. But I actually cured some of that for Larry and made ham out of it and smoked it. Larry, people are missing the boat there, too, if they don't put these wild hogs to use.
I'm going to tell you what, Luke, I love pork, and I really like ham. You missed your calling. You should have been some kind of chef somewhere, because that hog that you cured for me, I was very leery because it was a 200-pound boar.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you one thing, folks. That is the best ham I've ever put in my mouth, bar none. I can't hardly wait to get out there and get another one.
Well, it's a hobby for me, but we will devote a show. I've touched on this a little bit, folks, but I want to teach all of you that hunt hogs how simple it is to cure the pork and to smoke it. It's not hard work at all, and it's just a process. But Larry, man, I appreciate you so much getting with us and sharing your knowledge on just about everything to do with the outdoors. Is there a number that people could call to learn more about late season dove hunting or your duck hunts?
Yes, sir, it is, Luke. It's 970-819-3464. That's my cell phone, and it's strapped to my body 24 hours a day.
It is. Let's have a number once again, please.
970-819-3464.
Well, thanks, Larry, and good luck. I look forward to joining you for one of these late season dove hunts, and good hunting to you, buddy.
I appreciate it, Luke, and I'm looking forward to you being there.
Well, folks, that wraps up our show. I really appreciated being with you and you taking the time to tune in. Merry Christmas to everyone. I want to remind you that this show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. That website is biggame.org, and it's also made possible by Brute Outdoors. That's Brute Coolers. And that website is bruteoutdoors.com or 855-BRUTE-55. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We'll have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.